Tonight's the Wednesday night, Valentine's Day, pretty good crowd. I got that covered. Last night I said, I'll send her, get her flowers. So I go to Hy-Vee, I like the shop now, that's something I do. And I've been there, 100 times since I've retired. So I called them to see if they had florist arrangements. And, you know, the guy laughed and said, yes, I ordered it. And I said, well, I'll pick it up today. So I go in there, and it's right in there. Every time I get the cart, and I go, there's the florist. Well, you see, sometimes you can't see till you, it's time. And then, she got me a very special present. She got me an electric stapler, because I have to staple all these stupid handouts. And the thing breaks all the time. She's smart. And also she got me, to help her, she got me this hanging file so I can put all the different handouts so that they're all in the back of my car. And so when we're gonna copy them, she'll say, well, do you have any of those? And I can say, so, you know, our marriage seems to be going well anyway. There you go. That's that. And today, I had a tremendous spiritual experience. I don't know if it's related directly to the pages we're going to cover, but it was really one of the most profound spiritual experiences I've had in recovery. And I've been listening to the Bible with Dr. Pat. He had these audio guides. He's a professor at the Dallas Theological Seminary, and he has recorded the Bible and taught, and apparently it was very well known, very good. So I decided that I'd listen to all the AA speakers that I could possibly listen to, and it was getting a little stale, and I needed to do something different. So I've been studying the Bible. I said, I'm going to listen. It just came to me. You know, other people might have thought of that. And I said, well, you know, I could listen to it because I learned listening. So I got on. I found this site. And so somebody found these tapes of his, 18 years ago, and then they put them on the site. And then I was listening to the Book of John today. And so he didn't know when he recorded this 20-some years ago that I would be listening to it today. And he was talking about the story that's added to the Book of John. It's not in all of the old documents, but it's the story of Jesus coming down from the Mount of Olives. And he goes and they bring the woman in front of him who committed adultery. And they're trying to trick him so that they can get him to say that she shouldn't be stoned, and then he's violating the law of Moses so they can condemn him. And so he bends down, starts writing in the sand, and the doctor told to comment on that they don't know what he was writing, and really it's just a thought, but God gave us the Ten Commandments with his finger on the tablets, and maybe he was writing a new set of rules. And then he stood up and he said something that I think really covers my whole AA life. He said, he who hasn't sinned, cast the first stone. And of course, eventually they all left. And then the woman was there and she says, go and sin no more. And to me, I realized all my resentments, all my judgments, everything I had separated from me with God was me casting the first stone. And then I hear people say, well, I don't want to forgive this one or forgive that one. But, you know, he who hasn't sinned, cast the first stone. And so to me, it applies to my fourth step. It applies to my character defects. It applies to my judgment. I don't know about you, but I could see it so clearly. Who am I to judge? Who am I to throw the first stone at anyone? And so it meant a lot to me. I don't know if it makes sense, but it really, really tied in a lot, because I've been working on the fourth step and I wrote all these thoughts, and I wrote my Dr. Mike's resentment cheat sheet. I put it on the site last night, because last week Casey and Stu and I were, and I just said, gave bullet points with Rennie, and they said, well, this is pretty good. So I got it and I copied it, I put it on the site. It's a cheat sheet. So I've been thinking about that a lot. And so whenever I'm going to start getting bothered by anybody, I'm going to say, have I sinned? Can I cast the first stone? And then just stop. I don't know if that's very helpful to me. Sometimes things that are so simple become so clear. at times. So anyway, we're going to read just two pages and a paragraph tonight, and I hope we'll have some time. If not, I'll just stop. But I'd like to, we're on page 98 and working with others. This chapter has so much. Like, what we're reading today is like working with others, but what is really how the alcoholic should be and what's required to conquer our alcoholism. It says, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. Men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol, notice the word before conquering alcohol, are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted. So we have to decide, is it warranted or not? This may seem inconsistent, but we think not. Now they're going to give some thoughts here on how to give and when to give. It says, it's not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. When to give and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. And remember, at least for me, I'm a people pleaser. So I want people to like me. So I want to do things for others so they'll like me. Well, with an alcoholic, that could be deadly, because then we're carrying the alcoholic, and we're giving the wrong kind of service to them. And he's going to talk about that. He says, the minute I put my work on a service plane, if I become a service to the alcoholic, then the alcoholic commences to rely upon me rather than God. Now that makes a lot of sense. And so is my work on a service plane or a spiritual plane when I'm helping somebody? And so that's a good question to ask yourself. And ask yourself, what are your motives when you're doing this, and what is the alcoholic's motives? And we don't want the alcoholic to rely on anybody but God, and that's what they're going to talk about in the next few lines. He clamors for this or that. Have you ever heard an alcoholic clamoring? It's not pleasant, really. Claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Look at the words. He is claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. That's another one of these long sentences. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. This is quoted a lot, but it's still powerful. Job or no job, wife or no wife. Here's a warning. We simply do not stop drinking so long as I place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Anybody think that's a good statement?
Yeah.
Sounds great. But here's what it really means to me. What does dependence on God look like? And what does dependence on people look like? And my whole life I was dependent upon people to feel okay. What they thought of me. Whether I was getting approval. Whether I would be loved or people would respect me or whatever. And they became my higher power. And then I would feel good when I thought they felt good of me. And when I thought they didn't feel good of me, I'd feel really bad. Anybody relate to that? And so the whole world was my higher power. And I had to get things so that I could depend on people to accept me and feel good about myself. And the other way you depend on people is, are you depending on them to take care of you? Or depending on them to provide what you think you need? Are you using people? And whenever you put dependence upon people, they become your higher power. Now, people are human power. No human power can relieve my alcoholism. Only God can and will if he is sought. And my dependence on God, what does that look like? You know, what does it look like to be dependent on God? Well, we talked about that tonight, to seek God in all areas of our life, to pray, to meditate, to inventory. To ask for his guidance constantly, to look throughout the day to see where I'm wrong, to see where I'm separated from God. 6 and 7, which we talked about Sunday night, do that all day long. When am I in self? When am I out of self? How do I get out of self? I ask God, change the way I see things, practice the principles, practice the characteristics that he gave me. Now here's another line that I quote a lot. It sounds great, but what does it really mean? Burn. So you're going to get one of those prods they use for the cattle, and you're going to burn the idea But where are you going to burn it? Into the consciousness of every man, that he can get well regardless of anyone. So where is our consciousness? The consciousness means that are we going to be awakened? So we're going to burn the idea into my consciousness. Remember, I'm consciously separated from God. That's my problem. I want to be conscious contact with God. I want to be awake to God. I want to be connected to God. So they're going to burn the idea into my conscious, so I'll be awake to it, that I can get well regardless of anyone. There's no barrier between me and my creator. That's what the beauty of this book is. In religion, there may be rules and laws, but in AA, all it says is the highway is broad, all-inclusive, not exclusive, open to all who seek him. It's a great promise. What they tell you in this book is if you do this, you will have a relationship with the God of your understanding, and your life will change, and you'll have a power to live. Now, the only barrier to that is me and my old ideas. So everybody in this room can have a relationship with their creator. The only thing that's going to stop you is you. Are you doing this? Are you doing the things in this book? Burn the idea. And then here's the only condition on getting well, that we trust in God and clean house. And what they mean by cleaning house, it's not getting a Mary maid. It's keeping my mind clear of my anger, my fear, and my shame and guilt. Doing a thorough 4 through 9, and then each day living in 10 and 11. Keeping my house clean so God can come in and direct me. And then 10 is where we do it all day long. And then trusting God. Now that's really, sounds great, doesn't it? It's very good. Why don't I trust in God? Well, do you, anybody here ever worry? Well, if we worry, we're not trusting God. And whatever we're worried about, we're relying on self. And, you know, it took me a while when we were working on fear tonight, but the reason I didn't realize that I couldn't trust in God is that I didn't think I was worthy of God's love. It never occurred to me till I listened to that Carrie C., and I wanted approval, and I wanted to be good enough and worthy of this. But really, in the end, if I felt like God loved me, then I could trust him. So I must not believe that I was good enough for God's love, and that's an old idea that I don't have today. And so, and then we took the third step. Anybody here do the third step? Right? We've all made a decision to turn our life and will over the care of God, and we decide not to play God anymore, remember? And there's a promise on page 63. It says, we will have a new employer, right? It's going to be God. And the employer will provide everything I ever need. So why would I worry? He's going to give me everything I need. All I have to do is rely on him and stay close to him and do his work well. So if I rely on God and I stay close to him and do his work well, I'll get everything I need. So I don't worry. So all I have to do is say, how do I rely on God? And I wrote some thoughts on that, what it means to me. And how do I stay close to God? I work the steps. I do prayer, inventory, meditation. And so if I do that, I don't have to worry anymore. So I really, if I trust in God, it's only, the only person to keep me from trusting God is me. And Sandy Beach said, the hardest thing about trusting God is trusting God. But you see, I just celebrated my birthday, and I know where I was 16 years ago, and look where I am today, and how could I not trust God? That's going to carry over to the paragraph on the next page. Now, they talk about domestic problems. I guess we could skip that. Nobody had any of those in here, did they? That's supposed to be funny. Domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. Now, that sounds really good. It's a beautiful line. Can you explain your new principles of living to someone? Can you explain them to yourself? Could you write them down and say, what are my new principles of living? See, that you have to know that. And then if you know that, then you can put the principles into actions at home. So you might think tonight, what are the principles on which you're trying to live, and how are you putting them into action at home? Now, they don't tell you that you should have a year to have a relationship. I don't see that in here. I don't see that anywhere in the big book. But what it tells you is that you might want to do your fourth step on your conduct inventory and you might want to make an ideal, and you may want to be able to have the principles that you're living and be able to put them into your reaction in your life at home. That is, if he's lucky enough to have a home. And it says he should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. You see, they're giving directions to you as an alcoholic on how you should be in your relationships, practicing the principles. Concentrate on your spiritual demonstration. Now, on page 83 is a tremendous suggestion and a tremendous instruction on page 83, and it talks about remorseful mumbling, we're sorry, won't fill the bill at all. Anybody remember that one? And it says, as we analyze the past, be careful not to criticize the people. It says, so we clean house with the family, and asking each morning, and I do this, each morning in meditation, I ask God to show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. How does the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love look? And I meditate on that every morning, because that's what I want to bring into all my affairs. And so that ties in with the statement here, our spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding, back on page 98, are to be avoided like the plague. Now, the plague is not good, right? So we're to avoid arguments. Anybody do that? So when things are in a conversation come up, are you arguing? Are you finding fault? Are you casting the first stone? Or are you practicing love and tolerance and consideration and compassion? It says, in many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but must be done if any results are to be expected. And persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. And if they do, it's discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. It's another suggestion. In your home, are you contributing to an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness? What are you bringing into the house? What principles are you bringing in? How are you living in your relationship? And what are you practicing? Are you practicing love, patience, kindness, and tolerance? Are you being critical? Are you being judgmental? If they have seen these tangible results, the family perhaps want to go along. These things will come to pass naturally in good time, provided, now here's another warning, that the alcoholic continues to demonstrate that he can be sober. Remember we say, is sober enough? But we have to be considerate and helpful. And how are you being helpful? You can meditate on that. How does it mean to be considerate at home with your loved ones? And it means to me that they are who they are. Accept them as they are. Try to be loving and tolerant in all situations. It's none of us are perfect. We don't do that all the time. But I know when things don't go well, I'm not being that way. I don't blame them. I blame me for the way I react. Regardless of what anyone says or does, it says we may fall below the standard many times, but we try to repair the damage immediately lest we pay the penalty for a spree. We don't want to stay separated from other people. We don't want to be in conflict with people. Remember it says we were always in conflict with everybody? We don't want to be in conflict, because when an alcoholic's in conflict, we don't feel good. And it's those kind of feelings that led us to drink. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. Well, maybe that should be your requirement before you get in a relationship, or you're sure of your recovery. The wife should fully understand this new way of life. If their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis. So I wrote, what basis? What is the basis of your relationships? And that goes back to our sound and our sex ideal, a sane and sound ideal for our relationships. What is the basis? We're supposed to write that ideal out and live up to it. Is that the basis of our relationship? Is it a dependent relationship? Or is it a relationship of mutual respect and love and caring? And it means a new attitude and spirit all around. Sometimes it's the best interest of all concerned that a couple remain apart. Obviously, a rule can be laid down. It says, let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. When the time for living has come, it will be apparent. So work your program, live on this way, and then you let God tell you about how the relationships should proceed. Now, here's another couple paragraphs, and then I'll stop tonight. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has a family back. And alcoholics can say they can't recover for a lot of reasons. And you'll hear them. You know, I can't do this yet. I have to do this. And I have to have that. Some people think that they have to get perfect before they can work their four-step. You know, that they have to get well and, you know, get their minds all cleared before they can do the four-step, which is, Jimmy's laughing, but it's kind of preposterous. You know, well, you know, I don't know. All right, stop it. All right, I'm getting off the track. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Now, here it is. Once again, remind the prospect that my recovery is not dependent upon people. It's dependent upon my relationship with God. Everything depends upon my relationship with God. If I don't have the right relationship and I'm not using God's power all day long, life isn't good. It doesn't work. My life becomes unmanageable. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. Now, this is the paragraph. You know, I always say this is the best paragraph and this and that, so nobody listens to me anymore. But I'll tell you, this paragraph changes me. And when I ever get into a little self-pity or something's bothering me or a fear or something happening in my life, I go back to this paragraph. Now, I have it kind of memorized, so I don't have to open the book. But I say, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. It doesn't say anybody's leading each other. We're walking together. And then I also believe that on that path is God. See, do we take God down the path with us together in the path of spiritual progress? And am I doing it day by day? And it's a path. Am I following the path of spiritual progress or not? What path am I walking down each day? Think about that. Are you walking down the path to God, or are you walking down the path to separation from God? If I do this, remarkable things will happen. Well, I know that. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you all the remarkable things that have happened to me. And it says, and this is the one I like, when I look back, anybody remember your moment of complete defeat? And when you look back, think of you, everybody in this room. Think tonight, realize the things which have come to you. When you put yourself in God's hands, you're better than anything you could have planned. And that's why I trust God. Because I know that if I put myself in his hands, it's going to be better than anything I can imagine. And anybody write when they came in the first time, they what they wanted? You know, we would sell ourselves short, right? And those were always things that really aren't important anymore. And look what's happened to your life. So. What a great promise, and it's true for me. Now I can't say it's true for you, but if you put yourself in God's hands and do this deal, look back and see how your life has changed. And then here's the deal: if I follow the dictates of a higher power, that means if I make God my director, I basically work the steps, I seek His guidance in all things. I'm going to live in a new and wonderful world. Wow. So the world that I'm in is going to be new and wonderful. Now, how's it going to change? It's going to change because when I'm following God's direction, the world looks differently. It's the same world, but I see it differently. And somebody said, we get a new pair of glasses. See, the world's the same, but I'm putting on different lenses. I take the self-centered lenses off, and I have the God lenses on. And what that tells me, and it's worked for me, is that no matter what happens out there, it can be okay. And, you know, I've had a child die, all sorts of things happen. I got through it with God. In the world, no matter what the circumstances, I'll be okay. Now, why is that a great promise for me? Because I always tried to fix the circumstances of my life to be okay. I had a delusion, it says on page 61, that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of life if I managed well. So if I'm not happy, I had to manage better. I had to try harder. Well, it didn't work. It's never going to work. And so I can be okay no matter what the circumstances are. That, to me, that's the greatest promise. Because all I wanted from alcohol was to be okay, right? And I can be okay now with God no matter what's going on. And that's why they talk about it's an inside job. You know, how I feel today is dependent on my relationship with God, not on circumstances. And then whatever the circumstances are, I change the way I see them with God. So nothing's good or bad anymore, it just is. And then I can practice the serenity prayer. Anybody ever heard of the serenity prayer? Well, it's a good prayer, but I missed the whole point. I thought that I'm supposed to decide what I change and what I accept. But that's not the serenity prayer. The serenity prayer is I get God to give me serenity, which is peace, calm, the ability to see things in the present world in the new circumstances. You see, I can see the world differently with God, and then I know what I can accept and what I can change. But when I don't have God in the serenity, I won't know, and I'll make a lot of mistakes. I just end with one last thing. You know, I practice cancer medicine, and people are very sick. They're dying. And at some point, in a lot of the cases, we'd have to have the conversation where we've done everything we can, and there's really not any more than I know to do that's going to improve your life. And the patients will say, well, can I do something else? And so I'd say, well, there are a lot of medicines in there. I can go down there and prescribe something for you. And then you can go sit in the chair and you may feel like you're doing something. But I said then, well, if we're not accepting what we need to accept, and we're trying to change the things that we need to accept, we're going to do harm. So if I try to do something so you'll feel better, but I need to accept the situation and we're trying to change it, we're just going to do harm. And then they would understand that most of the time. And so, anyway, we're going to stop with that. We'll pick up and finish the chapter next week. And we're going to congratulate the birthdays again and hope this was helpful tonight.